scared when I was in
heaven.
And thought I should be the way.
Yeah.
I love somebody.
Yeah.
The Lord made a way.
Yes.
What's somebody say? The Lord made a way.
The Lord made a way.
If you get back then, I just want to let you know God will do it again.
Amen. I thank God for my space in the building and being in the land of the living.
Thank you, Jesus.
For us to still have breath in our bodies,
yes.
It lets us know that God isn't finished with us yet.
Hallelujah.
And there's yet something for our hands to do. This is, of many things, one of which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, as I understand it, and we will recognize domestic violence in the and faith with at least two messages that will be dedicated toward domestic violence today and Sunday, if the Lord says. And although we are recognizing it on a specific Sunday, which is next Sunday, I will introduce domestic violence to you on this Sunday. We have preached on this topic before, and we must keep it in our awareness, for there are silent sufferers, not only in the world, but in the church. Domestic violence has infiltrated the church, and there are those who suffer in silence for various reasons. It also will open up the avenue for us to have some discussions here on relationships, and that's what we want to talk about today, is relationships. Specifically that between a man and a woman. Is that all right?
Amen.
All right.
There's a whole lot of different relationships in today's society, but we're going to focus on one between a man and a woman. And in the reading of the word in the book of Ephesians, we have before us specific instruction as to how relationships according to God's word is supposed to work and how it works best. Have I got a witness?
Amen.
As you stand to your feet, we will read the scripture of focus as a family. Take it from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Our verse of focus is verse 21. Verse 21. Are you there?
Amen.
Here's some pages. As I said before, today we're going to introduce and present the topic of domestic violence, and next Sunday, if the Lord says, we'll give you an example of such an occurrence, even in Scripture. Our verse of focus is verse number 21, if you have the King James rendering. 1, 2, 3, read. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Amen.
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 I want you to pray with me on the topic that asks the personal portion. I was going to say look at your neighbor, but don't look at your neighbor, but I want you to ask yourself this. Amen.
Amen.
Just say with me, am I,
on
the wrong side of the road?
The wrong side of the road.
That's what we're going to pray about.
Amen.
Am I on the wrong side of the road?
Amen.
It's okay to look to the next neighbor.
Amen.
Are you on the wrong side of the road?
On the wrong side of the road.
Subtopic is, stay in your lane.
Amen.
Our God and our Father, we stand down before you. Preach at the moment, nothing occurs, let's just speak. We already sense your presence being in the building. Thank you for showing up. Now show out even further, Father, through your express word. You've now, this your creature, Father, even through these lips of clay, say what you would have them say. You know exactly who is here today. It is in the name of Jesus that your church prays. In the name of Jesus. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. There are, again, reasons why domestic violence occurs. Domestic violence comes in many forms, and it is both male and female. Amen?
Amen.
We are familiar with domestic violence as a man mistreats a woman, but how many know it goes also the other way around? We got some mean women.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all ain't gonna say amen. Amen. We got some mean women in the church.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And a lot of times it's the man that suffers in silence.
That's right.
And we don't want to belittle the women being mistreated. Mistreatment anywhere and everywhere is wrong.
That's right. Amen.
Whether it be emotional.
Amen.
Whether it be physical.
Amen.
Whether it be mental. Domestic violence has to cease to exist. But it does exist. God has prepared me to tell you that's wrong. And we recognize it. I would venture to say that those who commit domestic violence, it is not something that we grow into. It is not something that we gravitate toward. It is something that was there all the time. Come on, somebody. If you are an abuser, you were an abuser when they hit you. If you had a propensity to be an abuser, it was there all the time.
That's right.
You just hid it very well.
That's right.
In the relationship process. Now I just want to, before we even get into the text, I want you to know that in the relationship between man and a woman, there are stages that we go through. Can I teach you a thing? There are at least five stages in any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for everybody, because you can pick where you are. Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And as we matriculate through these five stages, I want you to talk back to me if you can. Amen. The first stage of the relationship is romance. Everybody knows the romance stage. It is what happens during courtship. It is the stage where we get to know one another. It's the stage where it is exciting and the endorphins are just going off. Endorphins, those things that make us feel good. Somebody say the romance stage.
The romance stage
can last anywhere from two months to a year.
Uh-huh.
Normally, about 3 months. And then the romance stage is over. Even at the romance stage, now that this is the most deceptive time of the relationship.
Yes.
Because everybody has put their best foot forward. Come on.
Yeah.
That's the stage where everybody gets their hair thin and their nails done. And they're giddy and they're saying the right things. You ain't doing no harder because we're too much in love. I wish I had my left hand. The most deceptive time of the relationship. And let me tell you something. The reason that people run to this one and court for a while and run to that one and court for a while is because they want to stop in the romance stage. But let somebody say, you can't get stuck. No, you can't get stuck in the romance stage. You got to go through it. That means that you got to stop running to every time you can handle it. Next stage is reality. So I say reality stage.
Yeah.
Reality stage is where the romance now is leveling off.
Yeah.
The romance stage.
saying now is that little thing that you used to do that was too many cubicles. Now it's hitting and working my nerves. I wish I had some help with it. The reality says that now you don't get your half good as often. You don't get your nails done.
Process God made. And since God
and God does have instructions for it.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to work best, you've got to follow the instructions. Normally, they start out in verse 22, where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know, so many women have heard that, they just makes them sick. When you know the Bible says, you should be able to submit to me in everything. Oh, really? Hey, you didn't read the whole chapter. Go back up a verse. The verse says that we're supposed to submit one to another. Now, you know, the women should have clapped right there. Knew that he could not deceive the man. Why? because the man was going to rule from his headship. So he waited until the man was the present, came to the woman, and gave her a question to think about. Woo! Oh, did you hear me there? No, you missed it. Now he waited for the man was present, then he came to the woman and gave her a question to think about. Because he knew that she was going to use her feeling to make a decision.
All right now.
Did God say? And she thought about that thing. With her feelings. He ain't no better than me. I'm just as smart as he is. I'm going to talk to some woman right now. And she left her position of subordination and became the head and made a decision without me. And get this, nothing happened.
That's right.
Okay. Satan said, if you partook of the fruit, that you would have what? Knowledge and understanding. But when she ate out of it, when she ate out of it, the body you reached for everything in your leisure. Nothing happened. But when she gave to man, and the man ate, all chaotic hell broke loose. Oh, there we back. We've been walking around this negative a yard dog. But now your eyes are open. Why? Because you left the order, the gospel order of things. Woman became the leader. Let me say this. I'm not talking about the household who don't have a man. Somebody got to make a decision. But I'm talking about the household who has a man. You need to submit and let him be leader.
That's right.
Ah, Lord have mercy. Yeah. You were. Let me show you how this is biblical. One of the effects of sin amongst many was God said, now your desire will be to your own husband. You don't even know what that means. It don't mean that you're going to want him. It means that you're going to desire his position. Oh, Lord, have mercy. For the rest of your life, your curse is you're going to desire to be the head of the household. That's why in this first verse, Paul warns the woman to submit to her own husband. In other words, get back in your lane. Start trying to make a decision with your head and not
Like what Paul said, do the things that you've learned. Lord have mercy. I'm talking to somebody here. I know you're going contrary to the way you feel. But you need to do some things and make some decisions on what you have learned. Lord have mercy. That's why the word says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Your strivings should be in submission. And I've heard that in my spirit. Yeah, well, how am I going to submit to wrong? Well, if your husband ain't right, you married. It is easy to submit to a godly man. It is easy to submit to a God-fearing man. Why? Because that man knows it's no longer about him.
That's right.
It's about my own man.
That's right.
If you marry somebody and it's all about him, you married wrong. I just come out of marital counseling with a couple. The guy's from work and he found out that I had been married 36 years. Let me tell you something. Just because you've been married 36 years don't make you no expert. First and foremost, all that does is an open demonstration of the grace of God. Let's not get it twisted. And I go into every counseling with that understanding, I am in no wise an expert. Did you hear me? And even me, myself, I'm just one devil away from a divorce. So you never get to the place where you have arrived. Okay, how long have you been married? You're still dealing with someone totally different than you. You're still dealing with your narcissism. We are innately selfish creatures. And that's the reason why marriages don't work, is because we are selfish. If I ain't getting what I want out of a relationship, I'm ready to quit. You never make it to the commitment stage. Because commitment stage says, if I ain't getting nothing, I ain't going nowhere. I wish I had some help. You know, a lot of y'all, just like that with Jesus, you know, you went through the five stages. I don't know where you are right now. You know, through the romance, you did real good when you first came to know him. You was all excited about it, came to church every Sunday school and Bible study. And then the romance was over. I know, because you prayed a prayer, he told you either to wait or he told you no. And then all of a sudden you start having second thoughts about my God. And you start slacking it off from church. Now you go up, you go to Easter and you go to Mother's Day, you don't get no help in here. Come back to me if you can. You don't go like you used to. You better ever go to Bible study unless you get in some trouble and then you go, come on now. Yeah, when you first came to know the Lord, you were praying day, morning, night, and noon. Now you only claim you get in trouble. And reality have set in. And now you're disappointed. I'm talking to somebody right now. And you're disappointed because the Lord wants you to wait, because he wants to teach you some patience. He wants to let you know that you ain't supposed to get everything when you ask for it. But don't be happy. I'm preaching to somebody right now. We don't need to get everything we ask God for because we ain't ready for it. There is a process that we got to go through. And Lord have mercy, some of us don't even got saved. You might be where I am. I don't get everything I pray for. Matter of fact, I got to be very careful what I say. But they keep me at the job. They said, we got to get a pastor to pray for someone. They say it in jest. You know how they find out you're a Christian and how they joke you. When I don't like this person, I got to get a pastor to pray for you. And before I even realize that, I had to open up my mouth and say, you better get somebody else, because pastors have a hard time getting the prayer through. says, I've come too far to turn around now. Me and God got too much history. I said, come on, somebody. Me and God got too much history. Peter broke me out too many times. I've been down to my last time. And I've been young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsake or anything be dead grave. Think about that you won't make it big. You won't make it big. Lord have mercy. We were not made to be. We were made conquerors through Christ, who loved us, who did not withhold his own son. I'm looking at some folk in here. Some of y'all going through personal struggle. Let me tell you something. Personal struggle is just like arguments. In the relationship process, arguments are good. I'm going to say it again. Arguments are good because it affords the opportunity to work through it. You got to learn how to work through it. You got to learn that there's no winners and no losers in the relationship. If anybody loses, everybody loses. You got to hear that. Some of us are so winning. Winning is so important to us that we will win the fight, but we will end up losing the battle. Oh, that's me. Some of us are so perfect, so driven to winning the fight, winning every fight, we end up losing the battle. The battle can be lost, and the person can be right there, staying in the same house. I have, through that counseling session, I have about 6 or 7 couples that want me to do a counseling session for marriage. All those couples have been married under 5 years, and it dawned on me. How are you going to counsel somebody that ain't a member of faith? And most of these people, they don't go to church. They don't go to church. But they do know that in order for their marriage to work, they have to do it God's way.
That's right.
Amen. And I agreed to counsel them. We got the date set up, but we got to get some counseling here at Faith. It's a victim. How can I counsel those who are not a part of faith? I mean, it's all right to counsel them, but we need counseling here.
Amen.
People will never admit it because they look like they're doing real good, but behind closed doors, this is where you get quiet. Behind closed doors, everything ain't as it seems. And some of them now are trying to traverse the vicissitudes of marriage, and they don't know how. So we're going to reawaken the couple's ministry. Just like we have a vehicle for those who want to visit the prison, we're going to revamp our couple's ministry. And we're going to start doing some teaching. And let me say this right here. This is going to be for all couples that are married couples. Because the things that we're going to be talking about have to do with married people. All right? And what we're going to do is we're going to open it up to everybody. Now, I want y'all to surprise me. And what I mean by that is I want you to attend. Those who are married, I want you to attend. Yeah, I want you to surprise me. Because it will be a surprise if it's attended well. Because if it's attended well, it says that you know that you don't have it all together and you don't have all the answers. Now this is for, I want to quantify, this is for couples who are married. This is also for couples who have been married. Because let me put it to you this way. We were made social beings. And just for whatever reason, if your spouse isn't present, whether he's not present physically or he may not even be present emotionally, we still want you to come. We want you to come. This is for all those who married or aspire to marry or want their marriage to be better. And this is also for those, it takes two to tango. Everybody is not willing to be a part of couples ministry for whatever reason. That's your prerogative. But God has placed it upon my heart that if there is a call, an open verbal call for me to counsel outside the church, there is a silent call for me to pastor in the church. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that God lets me know. Even when things aren't as evident. Give God a hand clap of praise. We really, this just opens up the avenue to talk about relationships. We didn't even get into what those lanes are for the man. We did for the woman. We know that the woman is not subservient, but she is subordinate. She is to, in position only, she comes behind the man. In position only. We didn't talk about the man. I just want to let, the man is given one commandment when it comes to marriage. And the man, the Bible, in the same chapter, go read it for yourself. The man is supposed to love the woman as his own body. That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. That says that it's no longer about, I'm talking as a man now. I'm talking to us men. If a man in the house makes noise, All right, look. What we're saying is this. We're saying that we are not only the priests of our families, but we are servants to the woman. We are servants to the woman. That old adage where we done work all day, we come in and then sit in our recliner while our wife waits on us, that's the world's view. The way it's supposed to be, she's supposed to be in the recliner. Service, get the oil changed, tires rotated. But what do we do for our marriage? We just make the marriage supposed to work. It does need maintenance. Where does maintenance? Every now and then, you need to take your marriage back to the shop. I don't know about you, but every now and then, man, I need an oil change. I get in that old way of thinking that she's supposed to serve me. She works just like I work. Sometimes she comes in and never sits down, goes straight to the kitchen and starts cooking. And then she asks me, you know, is this all right?
Yeah.
This is more than all right. How people of God dealt with it. Amen.
Amen.
You got any type of praise?